Welcome to the Do Life Different podcast with 1128 Community Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I'm Mike Francisco, the lead pastor here. We're a church that really wants to help people do life different. And for us, that means setting rhythms and values with Jesus at the center. And a lot of times it means discovering tools and resources to help people step into this different kind of living. For the last 2 weeks now, we've been in this series called Rule Breakers, looking at Jesus and what he came to accomplish, what he came to maybe take apart piece by piece, and what he came to build up. And today I'm excited to have Amanda Prince joining me on the podcast. Amanda, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Amanda is a wife. She's a mom. She's a fitness coach, instructor. She'll kick your butt if you need it. And she's a small group leader at 1128. And I don't know, Amanda, are you a rule breaker or a rule follower?
I would probably say I am more of a rule follower in general. Breaking rules makes me uncomfortable.
Would your husband agree that you're a rule follower?
I would say yes. I think he would think I'm a rule follower in general, but I think he also would say that if I feel like the rule doesn't fit my goals or what I'm trying to do or where I'm trying to go, I don't have as much of a problem breaking them.
Okay. That's interesting. What about growing up? Were you always a rule follower growing up, or were you I'm going to break some rules here?
Nope. Always a rule follower. I was the oldest, firstborn, grade A student. I was, in varsity cheerleading. I was the whole rule follower, bought my first house at 19, had a baby at 20, married at 22. Like I followed the rules. I did things. I checked off the boxes.
Okay. So let me ask this question just to kind of dive right into the conversation. Why do you think that having rules matters so much to us as people, just, humans in general? Why does that matter so much to us?
I think that rules make us feel safe. At least from my own perspective, rules have always, given a structure or a safety net, kind of guardrails on the interstate, right? Mm-hmm. It gives you boundaries to live in. And I think that when you can't control things in life, you can't control, what other people are going to do or the situation sometimes that you're put in, sometimes having the structure of a rule system to be able to follow makes you feel a little bit safer. And further than that, not just the rules, but the consequences to breaking them.
Mm-hmm. So knowing that there's consequences with breaking rules, it seems like most people break the rules, quote unquote, often, right? Like in life. So doesn't that seem kind of counterintuitive? Like we like the rules, it provides maybe some safety, but then a lot of times we struggle to live by the rules we're setting.
Right, because you're forgetting that we as humans like to do what we want to do and then justify those choices.
Yeah.
Breaking a rule or going against something that you know you should be doing or doing something different. Sometimes we have to weigh those pros and cons of doing it versus not doing it. And sometimes it's a choice that we can actually walk into using our brain. And sometimes it's a choice that we make entirely emotionally based.
Yeah. Okay. That's good insight there. Now let's talk specifically about churches, maybe about faith, Christians, because a lot of times outsiders, people that maybe they don't have a church, one of the things they say is, well, I don't want to live by all the rules, or I can't live up to all the rules and expectations that a church might have for me. Why do you think that churches or Christians put off this idea or this expectation that there's a certain set of rules that people need to live by if they're going to have a relationship with Jesus?
I think that the answer to that question it could be a couple of different things. I think about the fact that a lot of people have church hurt. Mm-hmm. we we carry experiences and pain and things that we have lived through or seen our loved ones live through. And it has been harmful to them. You know, judgment that they have been hurt with from the church or from someone who says that they're a member of the church. And if you're a member of a church, then you get kind of lumped in with that organization. I feel like the church as a whole, there's a lot of feeling of, well, if you're a Christian, you have to be perfect and you have to follow the rules, you know, the Ten Commandments being the big 10 rules. But then all these other unspoken ones too, right? That we kind of self-impose. And I feel like a lot of times there's no way that any human person can fulfill all of those rules. And so inevitably we fall short and inevitably we fail. Good day, bad day, it doesn't much matter. You're still going to always fall short, right? And so then I think that people who come to a situation with hurt, with a lens of hurt, see then somebody who says that they're a Christian behaving in a way that they would characterize as un-Christian, and then Christians in general become hypocrites in that person's mind. I think that we also have to remember that no church is perfect, just as no person is perfect. And that every church is a body of people that come from different walks of life and different backgrounds and different experiences and different levels of exposure to other people. Some people grew up in a church that only had church people, and that's all that they know. Some people grew up in a very diverse area with all sorts of different people from all sorts of different backgrounds, and then that's all that they know. And I think that we have to remember that nobody's lens of interpretation is the same. Everybody sees things differently based on all of the melting pot of their lifetime and their experiences. I guess I think that people get really caught up on the rules and the rules within church. I think it's more of a, I'm going to protect myself against having to change. I think that people want to live the way that they want to live. A person generally wants to be the way that they want to be. And I think that telling that person that they should be different is a really very hard thing to understand. And I think that when people who don't have a church or people who have been hurt by a church think of church, they think, oh, they're going to make me change. When really, in honesty, the church says Jesus loves you as you are. Not a single one of us here is perfect. We've all got things in our past, some of them in our current situation that we wish that we could change or do differently, or we would go back and we would do it again a completely different way. I think that the only way that we can fight through that is to, as a body of Christians, keep coming to the surface and saying, none of us here is perfect and none of us here follows all of these constructed rules that really just hold us down and really help to lean into that judgment piece that, again, as humans, we like to employ so much.
Yeah. So you said two different things in there that I just want to go back to and ask a little bit more specifically about. You mentioned the feeling of that person that I know, that Christian that I know, they're not living up to the rules that they've kind of set, and therefore it might cause somebody to think, well, they're a hypocrite. For those people that think of Christians as hypocrites, what would you say to them? How would you help them kind of process through the failure to follow the rules of their Christian friends? And then the flip side is for those Christians that fail to live up to these constructed rules, like you talked about, what would you say to them to encourage them as they navigate life kind of with this, this label, if you will, of hypocrite over them?
I think that we have to remember, we as the body of Christ, right? We as just Christian believers have to remember that some things that are labeled a rule aren't really a rule. For example, drinking wine or having a beer. that is a thing that some churches have said, churches as in buildings, have said, this is wrong or sinful. But quite frankly, I don't believe that that's a rule. You know, it doesn't define your level of Christianity if you have a beer with your buddies on a Saturday night, if you're a guy, or a glass of wine while you're doing things with your girlfriend. Should we take that to excess? No, but we shouldn't take anything to excess, you know, but that would be one example. If I'm a Christian woman and I'm proclaiming that I'm Christian and I go to dinner with my husband on a Friday night and somebody walks in and says, oh, there's Amanda. And I know she's a Christian, but she's having a glass of wine with dinner. Will they in their mind say that's against a rule? She's a hypocrite. So I think that it would be great if, like, as a full Christian body, we'd kind of get together and get on the same page with what all the rules are so we can know when we're really breaking a rule or we're not. So I think that there's so many different levels of what people believe to be a rule within that, that it's almost impossible to navigate. And so because of that, I think that you only can do the best that you can. I think that you have to kind of shake off the weight of other people's judgment about your behavior and center yourself with your relationship with Jesus and really realize that you are going to do things in your life that other people may have one feeling about or another, and it's not up to them. It's up to you and the choices that you make based on your relationship with God. And some people are not going to like it. But if you're making the choices that you're making based on your relationship and you putting God as a priority in your life, I don't really know. I mean, certainly we can still go wrong because, again, we're flawed humans, right? But that's really the rule that we need to focus on.
So let's ask this question. Is it possible that we're all following and have this relationship with Jesus? Is it possible that we can all be in that same boat together, but have a different understanding of the rules, quote unquote? Like, as a church, we say often, we might not agree on everything, but what we hope to agree on is that the world needs more Jesus. Like, if we can agree on that one thing, then we're going somewhere. Do you think it's actually possible for Christians around the world to agree on that one thing and to say, well, we don't have to agree on anything else outside of the saving grace of Jesus, and let all those rules, would that help? Like, you talked about getting into the room and agreeing on the set of rules. Like, if we said that was the rule,
yeah,
would that help, or would it be impossible to actually come to that conclusion?
I think that if you have a level of self-awareness, it would definitely help. I think that if you have somebody who's been exposed to different people with different backgrounds, they, I would assume, would have more of a predisposition to accept people kind of as they are, right? If you have someone who's only known one way and believes that their way is the way, and if you're not adhering to that, then you're not saved, or you're not going to go to heaven, or you haven't earned your place there. I think that's really hard. That's hard to overcome, especially if it's been taught to you from a young age. I think oftentimes we have more unlearning to do than new learning to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that people who have been hurt by the church or who have been raised believing the world is a certain way, it's difficult sometimes to realize that you only understood a certain portion of it and that there's so much more that's out there. So I would say to you, in answer to your question, yes, I think it's possible. Yes, I think it's possible with the group that we have at our current church at 1128. Have I been part of churches that I would say, no, I don't think it's possible? I would say yes. And I would challenge people, if you're going to a church that you feel like the answer would be no, they couldn't say, you know, your church leadership couldn't say, yeah, let's all get on board with, we're just going to love each other, but we're going to accept that we're all going to be different. I think that's a red flag.
Okay. You mentioned a little bit earlier too, that there's this idea that if I show up at a church, they are going to make me change.
Yeah.
I think you and I would agree that that's not true, right? It's not on us to make a person change. But there is, once you have this relationship with Jesus, some sort of an internal changing that happens, right? So how do you know, like, is it the church that's quote unquote forcing me to change, or is this a natural desire because my heart is being changed? How do you determine that? How do you decipher what's going on?
So this is the point where we have to, you know, the kind of the precipice, right? Where we're kind of standing on this cliff, and this is where the rules stop and the relationship starts. And I think that you have to, as a Christian, say, you have to come to a point within yourself to say, I am going to let go of the things that I thought I knew, and I'm going to step into this relationship with Christ, and I'm going to let myself be transformed into something different. I had believed in God all of my life. I knew God was real. I knew there was Christmas and Easter, and, you know, my experience with church had been through Catholic church with my grandmother. And so I know I could still walk into a Catholic church and stand up and sit down and say the things when cued. I had always believed that, and I'm a type A personality. I don't know if I mentioned that. And I love a good spreadsheet. So I had, like, from the time that I was a little girl, believed in my head that there was kind of this, you know, spreadsheet or list of, like, the good things I had done that day versus the bad things I had done that day. And as long as the good had, like, one more box, then I was fine. Like, yay, today was a win. I really had been driven to get through life based on the rules, based on following the rules and doing the right things, whatever the right thing was. And I did all the things, and I earned a good living, and, you know, climbed the corporate ladder, and really, really worked really, really hard and followed the rules that I thought would get me to that place of, I should be happy now. I have reached the pinnacle, right? Mm-hmm. But I was doing it entirely on my own. And what I found was a situation where I was completely hollow. I was in a very unfulfilling relationship. There was a lot of turmoil there between the two of us and internally for myself. It led me to a place where I made a lot of very selfish choices. And I would say that a lot of my life blew up as a result of that. However, I had to decide, was I going to continue doing this, following the rules that had given me this kind of blown up life that had blown up in my face, or was I going to give myself over to Jesus? Was I going to say, I don't think I have it in me anymore to continue this hamster wheel of doing the things that I think I should be doing, or am I going to enter into a completely different type of a situation? And so when you ask me, when you walk into church, do you feel like, or do people feel like they need to be changed? I would say the Amanda that I was before I was in that pit would say, yeah, if I go to this church, they're going to make me be different. The Amanda that I was when I came out of that pit, because I accepted Jesus and I said, my life has to be different than this. The things that I thought following these rules would earn me happiness has not happened. There has to be a different way. And on my knees in the bottom of that pit, I said, Jesus, I can't do this on my own anymore. And I gave my life to him. And after that, I was different. Now I will say, some people know who I was still, and they think I'm that girl still, and they think that I'm that person still. And I can't blame them for that, because I was that. But I also can say that I know I'm not her anymore. And the change isn't because the church that I was in said I had to be different. The change was because I said, I need to do life differently. I need to lean into this. And even still, I don't get things right all of the time. Gosh, I don't think I get things right like a good half of the time. But I do think that you can still break the rule if you do it with the heart that's in the right place.
Let me ask you one final question. For a person that maybe they're listening and they're struggling with the idea that they feel like something needs to change, they don't want to step into a church because that church might judge them or tell them you have to change, kind of like you just described.
Yeah.
The answers the church gives a lot of times feel very surface level, not always helpful. What would you say, like, if you're going to do one thing as a person that feels like you have to change, what would that one thing be to do?
I think that for me personally, I had to come to the end of my rope, the end of my ability, kind of that cliff we were talking about. I had to run myself all the way out of the hamster wheel before I came to Christ. I would say, don't do that. Don't wait. Don't wait until your life is completely blown up and imploded and everything is Suckville. You know, I think that I had to do a lot of unlearning. I had to do a lot of what is the difference between rules and relationship. And I still like to really follow rules. Like if the sign says, don't walk on the grass, I'm going around to the sidewalk. You know, if the line starts here, I'm going to get in the line. I'm not cutting ahead. I even like don't merge in traffic well because I let too many people ahead of me because I don't want to be the guy who, you know, starts the bad behavior and gets honked at. But that aside, I will say you have to, or I had to, as a new believer, a true believer in Christ, a true new being in Christ, realize that the way that I thought it was isn't the way that it is. So many times when I'm sharing my story with people and I'm talking to people, they will say, well, but the church did this. Well, but I was at a church that did that. And I say to them all the time, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not what this is about. This is not about, I got a letter because I wasn't tithing enough. This is not about, I couldn't be a part because I was divorced. This is not about, my child came out as gay and they told me that I didn't belong anymore. No, absolutely no. It's about stepping into a relationship with Jesus and realizing that the way that I thought or that you thought things were because of the lens of interpretation that you have seen your life through based on all of your experiences and hurts, that's not how it is. It doesn't have to be that way. And once you can kind of wrap your mind around that, it's like a whole new world opens up for you. It's like coming to the top of a mountain and seeing the entire vista versus seeing the small portion that you could see from your position on the ground.
That's good. And what I hear you saying in that is two things. Let your guard down, yep. Right? Like unlearn whatever it is that you've built up in your head as this is how it's got to be or it's going to be. So let your guard down. And then second, it sounds like find a friend that you can ask real questions of, right? Like you said, you've got friends asking you questions and you're sharing your story. So those would be the two things I hear you saying. Is that correct?
I would definitely agree with that. I would say that if you go into a church and you expect that the pastor is going to preach directly to you and solve your problem and answer your questions on that particular specific Sunday you walked in, you will leave disappointed. You can always get something from a service. You can always get something from a message. You can always meet new people. Yes, absolutely. But will you walk out completely transformed? I can't answer that for you. I think that the real work and the real growth and the real knowledge and learning and kind of this process of becoming this new person that you want to be happens through those relationships. I know that my joining a small group really spurred my growth. If I had not joined a small group, I don't think that I would be where I am faith-wise today. And again, that's not to say, look at me, I'm a great example. I'm not standing here saying, everybody be like me. Goodness, no, I'm not. But I am saying that I attribute a lot of my growth and a lot of the questions that I've asked and the way that I've thought about things to the women that I've I've been with and the relationships that I've formed, because I think that it's valuable to have an authentic relationship where you can say, but wait a minute, what does this mean? And I don't kind of fully understand that. Could you help me understand what it means from your perspective? I don't know. I think that there's huge value in small group.
Yeah. And if you're interested in joining one of our groups, we have those listed on our website at 1128community.org. We have a virtual group that it just started, and it's Imago Dei is the study by a guy named Mike Cosper, led by Jamie Brown Boyd. And she's great, and she'd love to have you join her for that. Amanda, it's been great having you. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for your insights, your understanding of breaking the rules and living by the rules. Would love to have you on again in the future to talk all kinds of other topics. Thanks to everyone who's listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for following along. Can't wait to see you again real soon. Have a good one.